Welcome to the Questionable Behavior Podcast with Dino and Edison. We're here with another wonderful guest for you guys today. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Snapchat at @_QBPC. Also, please take your time and write us a nice review on iTunes. And now, with Dino.
Yeah, guys, today we're on with an interesting guest. He's a wind speaker, tightrope artist, psychedelic drug-taking, just all-around adrenaline junkie. Definitely a cool person to have on, Gregory Michael.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Welcome, man.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah,
since
definitely,
being here, I felt nothing but good vibes, so I'm happy to be here. Good.
Yeah, definitely different from what we've had on, and I think this is going to be an interesting one, so I think this is going to be cool.
Yeah, I got some good stories for y'all.
Imagine.
Yeah, we're waiting. That's what you're here for. Don't hold back. So tell us, how did you get started, first off, with your art? Was that something you were always interested in and kind of hopped into a lot of different adrenaline junkie type stuff to inspire your art? Or
Since I can hold a pencil, I've been drawing, so that's kind of where it started. Everyone's always called me an artist. I didn't really feel like one until recently.
And why? What made that change?
Started getting commissioned artwork. So I started posting some stuff around on social media, different websites. You know, people noticed. People started asking, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? You know, that's the sort of thing that keeps up the inspiration to do more. That's not something I had earlier.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's cool. So that means, like, you're getting paid to do it?
Yeah, I have some commission artwork. I'm currently going to get paid for the next piece that
that's
I'm
good.
Making.
That's got to be a good feeling, man. And it's like you're doing something you like. So on top of that, yeah, no,
it's And cool. It's on a subject I like as well, which makes it even easier.
So how was that feeling getting your first payment, I guess, for something that you like doing, one of your passions?
It's really interesting. It's a bit, I don't know. It's hard because since it's something that's not happened before, it's like a little bit out of my comfort zone, but, it's definitely exciting because it's not something I ever saw myself actually doing to make money, but the fact that I can, and like, I do kind of have like this talent in it, you know, I spend thousands of hours drawing and painting and like that sort of thing. So it's kind of cool that it's like finally
paying off, maybe.
Yeah, it's finally like a part of my life in a way that's actually going to benefit my life rather than just like, hey, like that's kind of dope, you know?
Like, yeah, like a hobby kind of. You're transforming your, in a way, you're transforming your talent, your hobby into like.
Yeah.
Now it's more of like a profession, if anything. It's
exactly
the real deal.
Yeah, now you're turning it into a profession, which, you know, it's all an awesome feeling, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, art is a huge part of anybody, you know? It's not just painting, it's not just drawing, it's not just sculpting and stuff.
Like if you can sculpt, too?
I'm not much into sculpting, but I do other movement arts, slacklining being one of them. For the viewers that might not know what that is, it's a form of tightrope walking.
It's dope. We've seen videos and the guy's good.
Dude, that's scary. I mean, you're kind of just walking one slip up. I feel like you could just fall to your death almost.
We saw one video of, what was that, like a mountain?
Something
in between like some rocks where you can fall?
Yeah, you were just like laying down on a tight rope.
Yeah, so highlining is actually something I've recently started doing in last September in 2016. That was a dream of mine. So I started slacklining. A friend of mine was woofing out in Hawaii 8 months out of the year. Woofing is like working on a vegan farm. And he brought a slackline back with him one summer. Tried at his house. Next day I bought my own. It's just instant passion.
That's cool.
And then when I made the dream to be highlining, going between mountain peak to mountain peak, you know, it's something I never thought was possible. You know, I thought you had to be like a freak athlete to do it. And like here I'm thinking like, you know, I'm just like a normal dude. Like, I can't do shit like that. But it was like the dream, right? So when I was actually accomplished it, It was a pretty crazy moment. That was like the first time I would say I was
scary,
tripping.
Man,
how scared were you?
You're like attached to something, so you don't fall to die, right?
No, you're leashed in. You know, it's you have safety. You're backed up, but it's like you set it up, so it's like.
Because like I remember,
so it's like if you're not good at setting it up, you're gone.
No, because we were going through these videos and we're seeing this guy go from mountain peak to mountain peak on this little rope. And we're like, yo, we got to see if we can find a video of him falling and using, like, his safety equipment. I mean, we couldn't find one, but, like, you've had to have fell before, right? In between those mountains? Or
yeah, I've taken some falls, but when I go, I really have the mindset to not fall, because now the dream is, now that I've accomplished the first dream of doing it in the first time, the dream now is to do it free solo, which is no safety.
That's kind of fucking scary, man.
No, I have no fear of death, man.
I mean, that's good.
I'm a different breed of person.
So you're eventually trying to just walk these high lines, no safety, and just kind of...
Yeah.
So
you got to do it for the gram, right?
Is that what kids are saying? Do it for the gram.
do it for the gram.
Oh, man, what the...
It might be worth... Man, you put dude, that on Facebook Live or something, whatever you're doing, get a bajillion views.
I mean, there's people that freestyle a high line, you know? It's not... Yeah. It's not that crazy that no one's ever done it before. It's
still crazy.
What no one's done before is to do it while it's also on fire, which is something I've been playing around with. So, at least in my head. You know, I'm not near the point of where I'm confident in myself to do that. And that, I think that's why it's a dream, because if you could highline like a tightrope with free solo, like, you know you're a master at it. You know there's not going to be any human error. So, like, the only way that you would die is, like, some freak accident. Like
a gust of wind or something?
Yeah, the wind doesn't really affect you much. No? You think it would, but...
I mean, I don't know shit. I feel like I'd be up there, you get one gust of wind, whee!
Yeah, you fall.
Then I'm out.
Dead.
Yeah, I'd be really scared. Don't notice it so much. It shakes the line. It makes the line vibrate a lot more. But like where you're standing, since that's where the weight is, yeah, the weight of your body, it's just stable. So like the rest of it is vibrating, and it's like.
When you go up there, how many people you go up? You just go with a couple friends, or you go by yourself, or like?
Yeah, I've been up there with quite a few friends. I brought a few people for their first few like times highlining, and like these aren't even like experienced slackliners. Excuse me. I've slacklined for 6 years now, and it's, you know, these are people that have been slacklining for maybe like a few months, a year, and like I'm taking them highlining and be like, yo, you gotta just try it. Like even if you just get out there or something, you know, that's a huge step.
Now, if I was to go with you, and I've never done this before, am I safe to just go out there and let's just try it?
No, because if you fell off, you damn 300 pounds, you'll break the line and then splat. Now this guy's getting sued. And now the podcast is over.
Well, I'm dead in the cliff, so it's like... So I guess there's nobody suing. It's just,
yeah, we hide you so you can't... Yeah.
Yeah, just throw some leaves on him. Run. No, but can I... You know, if I go and I fall, can I pull myself back up, keep going?
So for someone that's never even slacklined before, I wouldn't so recommend. But if you really were adamant of getting up on the line, you know, I'd tie you in. I'd put you in a harness, get you in, and at least, like, you can, like, hang out in the middle of the line. Like, we have, like, beaners and stuff that basically just have, like, skateboard bearings on them. So you can just, like, kind of, like, zip line out in the center. And just you're just chilling there, sitting. And, like, you can just enjoy the view. Just, like,
probably
just
meditate on top of that. Just chill.
So kind of scared shitless.
Meditation is, like, the coolest part about it, because it's an active meditation. So the art of slacklining is... It does really put you in a zen. It does, like, give you, like, that sense of oneness. And, like, you really have to be super focused in what you're doing at all times while being aware of everything else around you. But you can't let any of that distract you. So it's really interesting in the way that it makes you feel afterwards.
The first time you went up there on that line, did you have, like, were you petrified, kind of? Did you fall and get yourself back up, or?
No, I was super stoked, man. Like,
so it was more pumped than anything. That's good.
Like, it was more the anxiety before going was just like, oh shit, like, I'm about to do this. Like, this is so cool. Like, and then, yeah, it crossed. You know, I took, like, a fall, I think, the first time. And then I remember.
Meaning, like, you fell in between these mountains, like, where there's hundreds of feet.
Yeah.
So, you, like, man, in that moment, you were like, what happens if this, what if I'm fucked right now?
All
right.
So, like, the immediate, like, everything happens so quickly when you fall. So, like, the immediate, reaction, I guess, it's like, all right, so you're walking on the line, everything's chill, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, like, you feel like the shaking in your legs, and you can't control the line anymore, and you're like, oh shit, I'm gonna fall. So, like, one, it's like you either can collapse onto the line, or you just fling off of it. Like, it literally throws you off, and when it does that, your brain is just like, oh fuck, I'm about to die, which gives you this crazy adrenaline rush. But then, yeah. But then your harness saves you, and then you're like, oh, I'm just chilling. Like,
I'm just hanging here.
But when you fall, it's hard.
Hopefully my friends come get me.
It's like, oh shit, all right, good, I'm not dead. Ooh, that was a close one. Fuck.
And this guy's dealing with this, like, every weekend. Yeah, you know?
It's like, oh shit, I almost died again. That was good. Wow.
Every weekend would be the dream, man.
How often do you go?
It depends when I can get people together. It takes quite a few people to set up.
Well, now you got us over here. We're ready to fucking start dancing on the line over there. Moonwalk on it.
I'm actually trying to develop a partner dance on the line.
That's the real... Wait, can you get two people on? You've seen two people like on a line?
Not on a high line, but you know, slackline you can do.
If you've never seen on a high line, now you're the first. What's up?
That would be cool.
There you go. Yeah. Shit.
I mean, there's a lot of math and science that goes into it, though, because you figure... taking a fall is going to be 9.8 meters per second times your weight, and that's the amount of downforce, which is also multiplied to the amount of tension you have on the line. So like a high, when you're setting up a high line, you don't want it super tense. When a line isn't tense, like it's harder because you have way more horizontal movement. Okay. The tighter the line, the more like stable it is.
I just want to like put this out there. You might have to speak in like baby terms for Edison because so he doesn't know calculations.
Explain it like I'm five.
I'm just like, I guess there's a line and
he said math what?
Yeah. So yeah, there's math involved and like, you know, because otherwise like the first time I ever attempted highlining was like 3 years prior. It was on a line that wasn't meant for highlining. You know, it's just like this normal ratchet system which looks like a truck strap, and like I wrapped it around a rock and I learned about abrasion that day. So it was actually a pretty crazy day. Me and my brother, we scouted out the location before. And like, this is like 10 minutes from like my house at the time. So then the next day we go back. We're like, yeah, we're going to do it. Like the vibe is just wrong. You know, like me and him are like super irritated at each other for no reason at all. We start hiking up and there's like these crazy like monster bees like flying around everywhere. They're like red, black, and yellow. They're like literally like 3 inches long. I've never seen them before. I've never seen them since. I don't know where the fuck they were. And they're just flying everywhere. They weren't aggressive, but like the fact that they were everywhere was a little bit unsettling.
Scares the shit out of me, man.
So we get up to like the spot where we're going to set up, and there's like all these crows like flying around.
I'm fucking ready to fucking eat.
Kid you not. And like, it just smells like something has died, but we couldn't find anything. Well, like people like free climb these like little rock faces. So it's like, you know, maybe someone did fall and it was like not. So we like looked for like a body. We looked for something. And we're like, we don't know
it's
what
like,
this.
Oh, shit. We're about to go do it. If our plans about like if we're planning something we're about to do and one of the things is like maybe we should look for a body before we do this, then it's not part of my plans. Like that's it.
But yeah, and then it's like, you know, it's like, all right, fuck it. Like we're gonna go anyway. Like, you know, we already have these three signs that definitely tell you like, hey, like. Bad shit is afoot. You know, like the vibe is just wrong. And we set up anyway, wrapped around a rock, which is, I'll tell you why that's stupid in a moment. And then I was faced with a dilemma since it would have been my first cross at the time of like, do you just go gung ho and just walk, like try walking it, like knowing that you're going to fall? Or do you go and like test a line and just see how it reacts? And I chose the latter, you know? So I like, you know, pull myself over, got to the middle of the line, you know, there's 40 feet under me. It's kind of had like that oh shit moment, but like still super soaked that you're just out there. And I'm hanging on my leash, which like you hang about like 6 feet under the line, and I'm pulling it as hard as I can, thinking like, all right, well, if I take a fall, it's gonna be way harder than like what I can actually pull with like my own body strength. And there's this loud fucking snapping noises, right? And my brother is like, yo, Greg, you need to get off. Like the line is literally fraying. So where we wrapped around a rock. So like rocks is kind of like sandpaper in a way. Like it's not nice, smooth surface. And since we wrapped around it, when it's on high tension, the friction is actually sawing through it. So every single time I like pulled down, like test it,
the fucking
it was
thing
just,
is
it was sawing through it. Saw it maybe like a quarter way through it and just that. So I figured like. So I'm like, oh shit, like, you know, like I get back to safety and I'm like, holy shit, man. Like if I actually like went gung ho and like just walked across it, one fall, that thing would have sawed through on the first time.
Oh yeah.
That means you would have died.
Yeah. I would have fell 40 feet like into like trees and rocks and stuff.
Holy fuck. That's on your first try. And then you went out there and.
Yeah. And then and then that's what taught me like, yo, actually learn how to do it properly. Learn the math, like so learn all of that so you can set it up safely. So when you go for your first time, you don't fucking die. Like,
that's the lesson out there.
That's the lesson. Do your math.
It was a good fucking lesson, you know.
Don't die.
I've always been the guy that just go gung ho right away. But like the vibe was really wrong that way. And I feel like, especially, you know, taking any psychedelics, which we'll talk about in a little bit, like, if the vibe is wrong and you get that gut feeling, you know, you got to listen to it. You know, that's your intuition speaking to you.
So going back to that psychedelic, since you just brought it up. So I know you've experimented with a lot of stuff. Do you go ahead and just kind of like try one of the psychedelic drugs as like to party, or are you doing it mainly to kind of just see a different view on in the world kind of and inspire your art?
Depends on the drug, like LSD or like DMT, like shrooms and stuff. Well, shrooms is a little bit more party, I guess, a little bit more social. But for me, like acid and DMT, it's such an like incredible experience. It opens like all your senses up, like your pupils dilate, like you hear better, you see more colors, you taste better, you feel more. Like for me, if you were to party on these drugs, it's kind of, you're kind of wasting that opportunity to like actually learn something about yourself and like the world around you.
What do you mean learn something about yourself?
So anytime I've done any kind of psychedelics, it's like there's always like this moment of reflection, like after the trip is over, and you like you received all this information that you normally don't when you're sober, right? Like during the course of your trip, and then like afterwards when you're no longer tripping, like I've never fallen asleep like after an acid trip, for example, because I spend that entire night just like reflecting on like all the shit I fucking learned. So like it's like anything, like you just kind of learn who you are. And the reason being in my mind is like it allows you to see outside the box and like be able to look in. And when you have that different perspective, if you compare it to your normal perspective, your homeostasis, like your sober style, like then you can compare and contrast. Like, and when you have like that more information, you get a better sense of that's like where insane. You are in the world.
All right. So how does acid kind of make you look at life differently? Can you explain that, since we've both never done it before? So we get kind of an idea of your thought process when you're taking a psychedelic in general, what you're seeing, how is it making you look at things differently in general?
If you can.
I mean, it's different each time, you know?
Like explain like that, the process to like, if somebody was to try it so they can see it through your eyes right now.
So the huge difference is the feeling you get from it. You definitely do get like the sense of euphoria, right? And it's kind of funny because like, you know, it takes a little while to kick in, kind of like a pop brownie or something. And then like all of a sudden you start like feeling that, like you start smiling without like even trying to, you know? And then you're like, oh God, like it's starting to feel it. Like I know I'm in for a good time. It makes you feel like so much different, you know? Like if you're feeling happy, you'll feel like tenfold happy. If you're feeling sad, you'll be tenfold sad. So it's like, that's why with psychedelics, you want to be in like a good place, good environment around people that you like. Is like generally a good time, especially if it's the first time. My first trip, I was with this girl from Ecuador, and like she kind of just convinced me to do it. I was like, fuck yeah, like you kidding? Like ended up playing bongos around a fire for like 5 hours in the middle of the woods. Dead ass, I'm not even kidding.
That's a hell of a first trip. How about the time where you painted for like 3 days straight, or what was it?
Was it 23 hours? Is that what it was?
Yeah, so I had like this like 6-foot canvas by maybe like 4 feet tall, and I was sitting on the ground. I mean, it's all about slack lining, it's all about the tight roping I do, which is interesting because there was no directive to it. Like I was just like, it was purely abstract. Like there was no composition in mind of what I wanted to do. It just ended up being something like that. So I sat on the ground, I tripped acid. I had this like giant canvas in front of me. And then for 23 hours and 47 minutes straight, I just painted. And in hindsight, I kind of like recorded an entire day in paint, almost like a record, like a CD. And like, yeah, like I can probably read that like a book.
Now, do you have like pictures like of that and stuff on like your Instagram?
I do not have a picture of.
Man, but that's pretty wild. You probably should.
That one, I don't know. That one's like a big piece, you know. You got to kind of see that one in person. All my other work, though, you got on Instagram.
That's cool. What's your Instagram, by the way, so if people listen, they can.
My Instagram is Gregory it. Michael, but the L is a 1. If Gregory you can't figure that Michael out, 1. I don't want you following me anyway.
Good point. So back to DMT, what is DMT? Because I read something online and it seems like a pretty crazy drug in general.
Well, DMT is like supernatural. It's found in like every single living thing. It's found in your own brain. Like when you die, Like, that's what gives you your death experience. So okay. You hear about people.
That's exactly what I read, and I was hoping it wasn't 100% true. So it's a drug, basically, that doesn't come out or doesn't release until you're dying.
Not true. It actually releases every time you dream.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so you get, like, a little bit of it. And that's, like, why your dreams are super trippy, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, people talk about how they see a light. They see, like, all this. Like, they're actually just dying, like, when they're dying, right? They're actually just having, like, the biggest trip of their life because they're tripping DMT.
All right, wait. So when you're tripping DMT, it's the experience of dying.
In a way, yeah. You have an out-of-body experience. So, if you take enough. Like, you can take a small hit, and you just get, like, this sense of calmness that, like, since my first hit, like, that calmness is still within me. It's not something that kind of, like, goes away. It's pretty incredible. You feel like you've just meditated, like, for the longest time, and, like, you totally feel like yourself and, like, just so calm and tranquil.
So what's it like if you took a lot?
When you take a lot, you blast off. So when you blast off, it's like literally it knocks you back. You start laying down. You know, like, I tried sitting, like, yeah, and tried to stop it. Like, there was actually, like, an ego battle going on because, like, you feel yourself losing your body and your ego tries to keep it in because it's all that it knows, you know? And, like, that was, like, the only really scary moment was that fear of letting go. Which,
do you think in, like, that moment you're going to, like, die and that's what that feeling is like? Or is, like, why? Like,
because it's, like, a panic state. You don't really, you're not thinking straight.
Yeah.
But then, like, the next moment, like a second or two afterwards, you realize, like, hey, like, I chose to go on this journey. Take, like, a super deep breath. And then, like, yeah, you just, like, go explore the universe.
And then what's that like? What is that from? What happens?
All right, so
I gotta hear this. This is gonna be great.
So before
I'm mesmerized right now. I'm mesmerized.
Like, yeah, I can't stop. Like, yeah. I don't think I've ever been, like, I'm connected right now, and I'm, like, tuning in so hard.
Yeah, I'm just like, let him keep talking.
And I will keep talking.
Yeah, keep it up, man. Because
so before the blast off stage, I'll tell you a little bit about, like, what the visuals are like. Right. So you take your hit, and then you let
How do you take it? You smoke it, or
yeah, you can smoke it.
What does it look like?
What is it, like a powder? Or
it's the stuff I was taking was like a yellow powder, but it comes in different colors. You know, it's the real deal when, like, you exhale and it tastes like mothballs.
What the fuck?
So yeah, there was totally a fear, like, my first time. Like, is this really DMT I'm taking? Like, I'm smoking it out of what looks like a crack pipe. Like, this could totally just be a different drug. But upon exhaling,
you just smoke PCP, brother.
Upon exhaling, like. And, like, you start getting that sense. You're like, all right, this is everything I read about. This is everything I know about it. Like, it's very comforting in that sort of way, right? And the trip only lasts, like, 8 to 15 minutes. So, whereas, like, an acid trip is, like, 18, 15 hours. Like, this is, like, super quick, but it feels like an eternity. So, like, you take your hit. And I took, like, a little hit at first. I didn't get to the blast off stage. And, like, that was just like, prep me, like, yeah, to, like, hey, like, is this drug even for me? Because if I wasn't feeling it, you know, then I wouldn't have taken another one. So you exhale, right, after taking a hit, breathing in hard, letting that oxygen feel, like, fill your entire body before exhaling. And then, like, you exhale, you wait, like, a few seconds, and all of a sudden, everything you see. So I was outside, so I'm seeing, like, these trees and leaves. Everything starts, like, breaking up and starts layering itself. Like, it, like, every, like, your imagery, like, kind of flattens in a way.
Like Paper Mario.
Like Paper Mario, exactly.
Yeah, that's the first thing. I'm getting the visuals.
You know, his eyes brightened up. Just man, like,
I like some Paper Mario, and you're telling me 2D and everything's coming in layers. That's the first thing I thought of. And
yeah,
Paper Mario, you
like
understand.
A collage, like how like 3D works, like with the old school 3D with the red and blue glasses. Like all that is like it's the image is split and then put overlapping each other, and then the two colors kind of makes it and it gives you that 3-dimensional space. Like, that's kind of what this does. Like, it just layers everything in a way that's interesting because, like, it even, like, breaks the colors down. So, you start seeing, like, the primary colors. Like, so it's, like, layered. So, like, you'll have, like, a yellow layer of this leaf that you're looking at. Like, this red layer right behind it. This blue layer right behind it. And then you start seeing almost, like, if you ever seen, like, the... like, you ever see, like, an engine... And, like, where it's, like, a blueprint of it. So, like, all the parts are, like, broken out and spread out.
Oh, right.
And,
okay. And it's got little dots.
Yeah, yeah, you see the dots. You see where exactly it goes. Yeah. Like, that's what it does, but, like, to what you're looking at. So, you look at this tree, and, like, you see everything that, like, this tree is made up of. Like, how it actually works. like how it like comes together, which is like really odd because like you look at a tree normally and you're like, hey, like that's just
a tree. That's
just you just see the bark, you know what I mean? Like yeah. You just see its like outer layer. You don't see like everything. Now, is that it like is.
Your brain just creating that diagram for you?
This is the first ego battle I had. It was like I was looking and I started looking at a light, and then it's like I had the thought like I always see like this. And immediately my ego is like, what are you talking about? Like, you're tripping balls right now. Like, this is not how you always see. But in a way it is. Like, you do actually see these things like this. Your brain just puts it all together, right? And that's how you normally see. Like, that's how your eyes work. That's how your brain works. This, like, disrupts that and, like, allows you to break up. So you can see, like, the truth in it, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Not only does your visuals do that, your sound starts doing that. So I was outside, there's cicadas going. They're making constant noise. They're like super loud. All of a sudden, that sounds like ticking, right? It sounds like ticking of a watch, and it keeps getting faster and faster and faster. So not only does your visuals get layered, but so does your sound. And like that was pretty interesting.
Kind of weird, man. All right, so step one's over. So.
Step one's over. So then I, you know.
Fall back
so,
yeah, now.
So then I'm ready.
That's
so
a blast off, by the way.
So then I'm ready for a blast off. So just like I did now, you know, like my friend that I was with, I was trip sitting. It's always good to have a trip sitter, by the way, for people that aren't into psychedelics, because if something goes wrong, you know,
somebody can hold you down and say, yeah, wake the fuck up.
Yeah,
boy.
Someone, and if you start having a bad trip or something, someone can, you know, someone that you trust can like snap you out of that. DMT, I don't know if it's possible to have a bad trip. It's just like it calms you to a point where I don't even think it's possible.
If you take too much, can you die from that?
As far as I'm aware, no. It's not traceable. It like instantly metabolizes. It's naturally
maybe
found
it's
in your body.
Maybe it's because your body's just so used to processing it.
Yeah, okay. It's just.
I have no idea.
I've not looked up like the negative traits, and that's something I'm kind of exploring. I'll talk about that on my other DMT trip because I tried to explore that a little bit. But this one, like, all right, so I talked for like 20 minutes with my trip sitter, like just explain what I just explained now, like all the things I'm seeing, all the things I'm hearing, like, all right, I'm ready for the blast off.
Yeah.
So, all right. He's smiling, you know,
I'm like, patiently waiting for it too.
He's smiling. He loads up like his huge hit and you milk it for so long. You let it like just fill your entire body before exhaling. And then, immediately it's just so overwhelming. So you get all the visuals and then more, you start seeing like fractals. So what's things that aren't even there. It's basically like geometry, like in your vision. So like you're just seeing like an open
cyborg,
space,
bro.
And you start seeing like all this geometry and stuff, like what makes up the world in a sense. And like all these like random, like spontaneous shapes, like all these spirals and like, it's kind of cool. It's like, it's pretty hard to put the words, like, and I'm trying my best to do it, but, that's when the ego battle happened, the fear of letting go. Then, you know, then I was off, laid down, accepted that like, hey, I'm leaving my body. And then all of a sudden I'm in like this whole space, you know, I was going super, super fast, like through this, like other realm. Like,
what?
So once again, there's like this bunch of geometry now, but now it's like rotating like super, super fast in my experience. And, it's all primary color. So all just reds, yellows, blues, like super flat, almost like a deck of cards. Like you see like the queen, the jack, the king, the joker, like how that's set up. And, like the artwork behind that. And like, that's kind of like the artwork I'm seeing. And it's just spinning. Everything's spinning so fast. Like I'm going through like this time warp. I'm like moving super fast, right? And then that went on for a while. Like I remember like wanting to stay in one place because of how beautiful it was. Just to observe it. But like I was moving at like this ridiculous speed. And you know, you look down. There's no body. Like you're not you. Like you don't even know if you're you. You're just like your conscious form.
Oh, so you're kind of just moving around, but you don't even realize.
Yeah, you have no body. You have no physical sensation.
So you think you're just like creating that space around you? Like
it's very possible that your conscious is creating that space.
Wow.
So is this something like, or if you do it with other people, are you communicating with them, or you kind of just you took the hit and then you're kind of gone? You're in your own.
I don't know. I only did it solo, so I don't know if you did it with another person. If you were
like interdimensionally connecting.
That would be pretty dope. Like,
oh, I know
that's something
this guy just went into like.
I'm ready to get a Tic Tac case
down
full
to try.
Of DMT.
Tic Tac case.
Get some ladies. I'm down to try.
psychedelic drugs that you've done so far, which one do you think is your favorite?
Which one's the most eye-opening?
Right now, because it's recent, is DMT. Yeah. You know, I look for DMT for so long. And
so how do you even come across?
But that? I always had the feeling like, all right, don't search for it too much. Like, you don't want to like start asking around. Like, if you're ready for this drug, like, it's going to come to you. That's just the way the world works. Like, if you want something bad enough, like, the world does have a way of giving you its opportunity to do it and do what you want to do. You just got to recognize it, right? So it kind of like fell in my lap, like, sort of way. And that's how I knew. It's like, all right, it's time to do DMT. Like, this is what I wanted to do for like years now. And after that rotating space, like, the trip isn't over yet. Like, you know, so like after that rotating space, I'm all of a sudden in this other realm. And it's
the super nether realm, like Mortal Kombat or something.
Just like open space. So if, like kind of like desertscape. So a lot of pastel-y colors, a lot of like light tans, light blues, almost like Salvador Dali type artwork. The melting clocks, yeah. That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like empty. Like, it's only me there. Or my conscious there, because it's like I don't even have a body at this point, right? And in the middle of this like three-dimensional space I am, I see this liquid pouring just like out of the sky, I guess, you know. And it's just like in the middle, and I'm just observing it, right? The interesting.
Where are you during this time?
I'm just also in this open space. Like, this is happening
just
right.
A figment, man.
Happening right in front of me.
I mean, like, physically, your body, where is it?
Probably on a couch.
Physically, I'm laying in my backyard on a blanket next to my friend that's trip sitting and his girlfriend that was also there.
Oh, okay. Shit. He's so, not flying around.
No,
in space.
I thought he was like actually dude, walking around.
I mean,
it's a
good question because I couldn't tell you where my body was because I was out of it. Like, you know, like, I don't know if I was conscious during this time. I don't know if I was unconscious during this time. I was just in my consciousness was just in a different place. Uh-huh. And I'm watching this liquid pour out of the sky and I immediately recognize it as time. Right. So it's pouring down from the sky, like in the consistency of like how honey pours, like that, like slow, like molasses yeah. types. And yeah. and then I start watching it bend and watching it twirl and warp and stuff. And then all of a sudden, like Einstein's theory and stuff like time and relativity and like all that stuff like start making like so much more sense.
And you start thinking about those things in the moment.
Yeah, I'm like super That's inspired crazy. To start like studying that stuff now.
Wow.
But it was interesting because I also thought about things that were bothering me. Had a fallen out with a really close friend, right? Yeah. And the fear of like not seeing this person ever again, right? Doesn't matter anymore. You know, I'll just see him when time bends back. And it confirmed to me a belief I've had since childhood, which is I've lived this life before. I've felt this way since like I was a kid. Like I've known I've just done it all before. And my ego is always like, well, you can't know that, right? Like, how do you know such a thing? Yeah. But like this confirmed that you do. And it also confirmed like, hey, like it's not ego to like know something. If something is true, like you do know some things. Mm-hmm. And, I have a lot of life experiences that like taught me like, yeah, I've been here before. A lot of deja vu, like incredible amounts of deja vu. I had deja vu coming here. You know what I mean? Like
what?
As I got older, it's happening way and way more. I don't know if it's because of psychedelics or not, but like for me, it's a comforting feeling. Like it's the world telling me like, hey, you're on the right path. Like don't deviate from this yeah. because like this is where you're supposed to be.
So you're supposed to be right here, right in this chair, talking to us.
I wouldn't be here if that wasn't the case.
Yeah, wow. that's extremely interesting that you even say that. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody experiences their fair share of deja vu. Where yeah. you're just
and it
like,
is a weird feeling. Like, yeah. You don't really think like, oh, I just had deja vu. But if you really think about it, it's like there's a reason you feel like this situation happened or you feel like it's like exactly what you said. It's like you're going in the right path. And it's like that mm-hmm. path was like meant. Like it was supposed to happen. It's like, I don't understand why that happened.
But it's going back to it, like, you know, ancient tribes and Buddhists, etc. They've used a lot of different types of psychedelics to kind of just understand the world better in general. So, yeah. You know, that's kind of like touching on the same subject in a way. And actually recently they did a study on LSD and basically they gave LSD to people that have never tried it before. Just to see the reaction that it has with their brain because they were doing like a brain scan at the same time. And turns out that your brain was using parts of your brain that you've never used since you were a baby when on LSD. So basically these different parts of your brain like an imaginative part of your brain is being used that's never been used except for when you're a baby. Just tapping into it.
There's also studies going on about microdosing. So like you wake up and you just like touch LSD and then you get like a little hit to the finger and then like that.
And was it get absorbed through the skin?
Yeah. And that they've been using it for people like with depression and stuff like that. And there's psychosis and different things like that, schizophrenia, and they're seeing that like it is helping these people on a day-to-day basis. The thing about it is you're microdosing, you're taking like so little amount, like you wouldn't trip a tab like every day or multiple tabs, you know. That's where you burn out, you know. Like these things like can fuck you up really easily if you abuse it, and like that's why I'm kind of against like the whole party scene of it, because right. like if you trip LSD one day and then trip it the next day, like you're not gonna trip, like you're not going to have the same trip, like, and I don't mean that like the same feelings and like all that things, because like that's impossible, you know, like that was yesterday, like today is a whole yeah. different day. Like you just won't trip. Like it doesn't
accumulates on your body or something.
Like your body needs a time to reset, right? And like get back to its normal state and recover from it. And because like when you take a tab of like if it's like pure LSD, like if it's like some really good clean shit, like yeah, it takes a lot out of you, you know. It really dehydrates you. You got to make sure you drink a lot of water.
I used to hear like, man, when I was growing up, I don't know if it was my mom's or somebody, they were like, yeah, don't do acid because it sits at the bottom of your spine, and then like 30 years later you can start tripping because you did it.
Yeah, there's a lot of mentions of that, like you crack your spine and like you start tripping again. Yeah,
I've heard of that.
Since I mean, I've had it like where I trip very briefly, like be like looking in the mirror and stuff, be like, whoa, like start seeing stuff morph. But it only lasts like a few seconds. Like you don't go on a full like 8 to 15 hour trip again. But yeah,
you do have little hints of it though.
Every once in a while, yeah.
That's crazy.
Like,
does that bother you? Like,
no. I mean, I know it's in my spine. You know, like it's
so just, that really is. It's really it's there.
Yeah. If I got a spinal tap, like they'd be like, you've done acid like this many times, probably, and be like, I totally did. Like,
you can't run away.
Well, I can't lie about it now. I mean,
yep, you're right. Are you sure you didn't miss that one time?
Then, I think you're looking at the wrong spine, man. It's not me.
Yeah, whereas like weed is like something like 3 weeks. If you're like you have like an average metabolism and like work out decently and drink a lot of water, you can like get it out of your system in like 3 weeks. Some people even like less, depending on your body fat. Acid is just kind of there. But like you can't, like no one's going to fucking spinal tap you unless like you're going into like the KGB or some like crazy shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like FBI, like CIA, like.
Maybe not even, who knows?
They might even accept you, that kind of thing there, because.
You're open. Yeah.
You're open to new things.
Yeah.
But LSD, what kind of trip do you get that with LSD? Is it an out of body experience as well, or?
No, you're like completely inner and outer. Like it's interesting. Like it's kind of both. You don't leave your body, but you definitely learn more about it. And a lot of people like be like, yeah, you see like all these crazy visuals. I mean, yeah, if you take a lot of LSD, you probably would. A normal amount, like if you just take like a tab, like it's your first few times you take a tab, you mostly get the feeling. Like you will see some visuals. You'll see things kind of like water wash, like kind of like watercolor, like paint, like how that works, like how the paint moves around. Like that's what your visuals will be. So like you'll see these colors and stuff, and they start moving around like all these ways and start rotating and things like that. But it's not nearly as intense as like DMT.
But you trying all these different types of psychedelics in general, did each one kind of put a different thought in your mind? Did it put you in a different mental state, kind of like coming out of it? So you do acid once and you kind of come out and you're like, now you're looking at things differently in general. Was it like 100%. A life-changing experience, each one, or?
I mean, I took acid once in the most depressed moment of my life, you know, and it completely snapped me out of it. And like, yeah, that's a bit like Russian roulette, because if like you're asking for like a bad trip and like such, you know, and such bad mindset. But for me, it just completely snapped me out of it. So acid with me, since my first trip with that Ecuadorian girl, right? There was a light bulb moment during that trip where it's like, I'm in complete control right now, right? I can be in any situation, I'll be able to handle myself, and it'll be fine, you know. Like it gives me that understanding. To put it in as like an analogy, like it turns opaqueness, like the color of milk, like into clear as water. You just see the truth in everything. Like you start talking to somebody, and you, like, you know everything about
speaking
them.
Speaking some wild shit, dude.
It's true though. Like it's.
I'm just like trying to like. Like, I don't think I've ever heard somebody speak like the way you're speaking, and I'm just trying to process like all of your words, man. It's crazy. Dude, I mean, I'm gonna like, be thinking about it all night.
It's also because it, like, it's different when you talk to somebody and you know they're just like, "Oh, dude, I did that.
I tripped my balls." Yeah, and all that shit. It's nice to hear.
You know, like, it's like now you're kind of hearing like the more spiritual form of this. Yeah. You know, this isn't stuff that just came to be recently. You know, people have been doing psychedelics for fucking since ancient times. So. You're kind of getting a thought process right now. We're getting a thought process of like those people, how they did the psychedelics, not like how I guess the young generation does it now.
Now, have you ever had a bad trip?
Which is very cool.
I've never had a bad trip. I've had times where the trip seems like it's going bad. Yeah. Like it seems like it's something negative, but then you just have to like look at it again and be like,
cause like I hear
some this is just like the normal thing.
Like bad stories. Like, man, you get a bad trip and you just feel like you're falling through like hell for like an hour or something like ridiculous, and you're just really uncomfortable for a long time.
For me, it's never happened because I think because of my openness to it.
Yeah,
I mean, I've had times like I'm looking in the mirror on acid and like your face starts morphing and you start seeing like the dark side of you, you know what I mean? And like that's not something a lot of people like to confront.
Yeah,
but it, like it brings it out, and then you know, but like you realize that it's just me. You realize that the dark side isn't negative at all. You know, it's just a duality of things. It's just like if you're yin, it's just yang. You know, like
sure.
If you're one, it's just two. You know, it's not something bad. So like I learned for me, I'm like a little bit mischievous, right? And I am, you know. And
The Ecuadorian girl would be able to tell us a lot, I hope.
She wants me to go back to Ecuador to visit her. And
oh, so the Ecuadorian girl, this was in Ecuador where you first tripped on
acid? This was in the middle of the woods. Like
you just met her in the woods? You just met her in the woods?
No, I worked with her when I lifeguarded when I was a bit younger. And we had international guests like that would just work there for the summer. Like it was kind of close to New York City. So like that was attractive to foreigners.
Yeah.
And then, I met her and then tripped together. And it's like, after that trip, you know, it's just like where were you all like all summer? Like we worked at different parts of like the lifeguard and the water park I worked at, which is a story for another time. The water park I looked at is like notorious action park, if anyone's ever heard of that. You can look it up. There's been a lot of people that have died there. But anyway, back to on topic. So she's invited me back to Ecuador someday and go like actually to a shaman, which is super exciting to me because that sounds dope. Like a little witch doctor in the middle of the woods.
And what do they do?
They eat people, man.
They don't eat people. They make like herbal medicines and stuff, but they live out in the middle of the woods. So like you spend like 3 days with them and then like you trip ayahuasca. So ayahuasca has part DMT in it. But
it's, is that that drink? Is that the drink, man? That they're drinking like?
I think you usually smoke it, so it's kind of like the peace pipe. It's like the Native American like spiritual journey, you know what I mean? Like you go and like talk to trees, like all that shit. Like that's what this is. And in Central America, South America,
so what's the
North America? You know, if we didn't kind of fuck that shit up,
what's like the steps? Like, do you just go see an old guy in Ecuador and be like, "Hey, give me some of that shit"?
She would bring me to him. I'd live with him for like 3 days. Like we'd all like just like camp out with him, and he would decide what type of ayahuasca you need, if you need ayahuasca at all. Like he could just be like, "All right, you're not ready for this shit. Like you're a piece of shit. Like like leave." Like, or he might be like, "All right, you're ready for this kind." As far as I'm aware of ayahuasca, I don't know much about it. I haven't done it yet, but there's like traditionally three types, and that's what the shaman decides what you need. And then you go on a spiritual journey. I heard it's more so than DMT because DMT is so short. So you see like all this information like super quickly. And it's interesting going back to DMT. When you're in like these other realms where you're just consciousness, like you're omniscient, like you have all the information, you know everything. And that's where the second moment of fear came, was like, how easy it would be to have all this information and use it for like evil intentions. And like that's scary, like having that much power. And then like when you kind of become conscious again, you kind of lose that in a sense. It's like no longer at your fingertips. But I feel like it's the knowledge is in all of us. You know, it's written in our DNA. It's in our atoms that have been with us since the beginning of time. You know, like.
I mean, I would definitely be interested if, like, if a scientist was doing studies on all these different psychedelics, just to kind of see the reaction of your brain with it. Are you opening up difference? Because, you know, we all know you only use less than 10% of your brain or whatever the case.
Something like that.
A little less for Dino than normal, but.
I heard that's not true, actually. Like, you use, like, your, like, pretty much all your brain all the time. But this kind of, like, opens up the doorways in your brain and fires off neurons that normally wouldn't fire off in these situations.
So you're getting a whole different experience of life in general.
Yeah.
And how, connecting back to your art, does each different drug kind of like inspire something new from you art-wise? Are you drawing new things or?
So when you do art, right, you're putting yourself, right? Like any kind of emotion you have, any kind of awareness of the environment around you is like going down on paper. Like I studied art therapy in school. I got a bachelor's in it. And your subconscious thought comes out in your artwork, as long as you're honest with it, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you're feeling negative, like your art comes out negative, like you're not trying to hide it and make it positive type of thing. Right. And then your subconscious thought comes out. So when you do psychedelics and you have like these crazy experiences and then you do like a reaction painting to it, a reaction sculpture, a reaction dance, it is going to express that new knowledge that you've learned.
Hmm.
There's a lot to take in, man.
It's deep shit, you know, yeah. And like for people that haven't experienced it, it's like it's hard to imagine.
It's kind of hard to imagine. That's but what I was exactly. going to say.
Anybody that has experienced would probably like be like, yeah, I completely understand, like.
Yeah. Especially, people, I mean, like people just try these things just to try. Like going back to like the party drugs kind of thing. But when you
try them, but not experience them.
Yeah, not experience like the whole thing. You kind of just do it. But like. You know, here's an artist. He's kind of like inspiring himself by you're not abusing these drugs. You're not taking them every day. You kind of just you just want to experience a different kind of the different vibes.
Experimenting, let's say,
experimenting kind of and opening up your mind.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah,
it's all to get another take. You know, like it's going to alter your path a little bit, like your direction. But I feel like if you're open to it, it opens you to a doorway that you didn't even know was there. And that's more true than the doorway you were already in.
Yeah. I feel at least I took a lot from this, man. Because, like, it's something I think about, like, doing, like, drugs. I told you I've never done any types of drugs or anything like that. And it's just something, like, definitely to, like, think about. I'm like, I always wonder, like, oh, what's this like? What's that like? And then it's, like, it's crazy to hear. The shit you were saying, man.
Yeah.
Thankfully you came, man. This is cool.
Literally, I mean, there was a point in this interview where I was my mouth was just open.
I was just thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm just letting you
lost
talk, man.
Thought. I was like, oh wait, I have to ask a question here.
We're gonna have to do a round two, man.
We're gonna come back. Round two over here.
After we've done some cool shit, then we can tap in with.
We've had a wonderful show with Gregory Michael, artist. Thrill seeker, daredevil almost, and
lady
you know,
killer.
We're getting there to the end. That's the climax. But this was an awesome show, man, and you really kind of opened our train of thought over here. This is an experience we both never had before, so we're happy to have you, and thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks, man.
It was cool. Fun being here, you know.
Yeah,
of course. And you got to teach us some of those lady killing skills after.
Exactly. And for those people that want to see any of your artwork or the crazy things you do, find you at Instagram at Gregory Michael with the L as the one.
Yep, if you can't find
exactly.
it, don't look. All right.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.